Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll start in verse 21. Then he said again to them, I go away and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I may have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke to these things, many came to believe in him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, and we thank you we could gather here today to meet around your table. And help us as we study your word, Father, and help us to truly open our hearts and our minds, Father, that we can understand what you're communicating with us, not just today, but all the time, Father, that we can the deeper things that you have prepared for us, Father. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, this is the part two on this message, on this section of Scripture. Last week, we talked about those who live in the world live in sin, or those who are in the world or of the world live in sin and are separate from God. And Isaiah 59 talks about that. And we went through some things last week. And they're separate from God, and their judgments and their thoughts are incorrect and impure as a whole. Now, there's randomly a time where an unrighteous judge is going to have a correct judgment. And there's good people, as according to the world says, that are going to have decent judgments, or even in some cases close to godly judgments in ways. But as a whole, the judgments of the unrighteous are impure, they're incorrect, because the foundation is unstable. Okay, their foundation, they don't have the right starting point. And you see for even example, this morning, in both the encouraging word and the scripture reading, is that you have Abraham, who could understand things because his foundation was stable, and you even have Lot, that was kind of there, and his sons-in-law are some that come to mind, where they thought he was joking. They didn't understand the wickedness going before them. They thought he was joking, and they didn't understand the wrath of God that was coming. And granted, they didn't know, but they were so consumed and adjusted to the world that they didn't see a bad thing when it was right all around them. And when Rylan was reading this morning, the Jewish leaders, and you can kind of see there, not just the leaders, but the people, and you see here that Jesus is dealing with those same people, and Stephen was dealing with those people a while later, and he's reminding them, hey, if you are your descendants of Abraham, you remember this Moses guy, you remember how he did, you remember what the people, how they rebelled, and how God did all these things through Moses, and they still rebelled. And Moses said, I'm gonna bring a prophet, this like me, God's gonna raise up a prophet like me, and if you don't believe him, you'll be cut off. And as you continue further, which we haven't got through yet in the scripture reading, but Stephen eventually tells them that they're not no better, if not worse, than their fathers. And the reason being is because their mindset was of the world. Their foundation was unstable because it wasn't founded upon the rock, and it wasn't founded upon true faith in God. It was founded upon the law or following some tasks that they thought was making them righteous. And so they can't understand the deep things of God. The wicked can't. And by wicked, that means those who are not in Christ. They can't understand the deep things concerning God or His kingdom. But the mindset above will think and judge with the guidelines of the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about how that is possible. If we look in verse 21 of John chapter 8, Jesus says, He said to them, I will go away and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now, they thought that to be that, well, maybe he's going to kill himself, as we talked about last week. Their impure mind jumped to an impure thought right away. It wasn't that, well, maybe he's gonna die. It couldn't be that he's the Messiah, because that's not what they had in their mind. So their impure thoughts and their impure ways jumped to something that was corrupt and wicked right away. And maybe there was a little bit of hopefulness in their hearts, because they despised Jesus a lot of times when he was dealing with them and debating back and forth to them. Turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Now, Jesus is talking to his apostles here shortly before he is led away to be put on trial and crucified. And in verse 7 of John chapter 16, it says, But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Turn back to John chapter 7. So it was to our advantage that he went away, because when he went away, the Spirit would come to us. Now, this is something that the religious world fails at understanding. Obviously, like we're showing the point that those who think that they have a relationship with God just like the Jews did, the Jews thought they had a relationship with God, or they were God's people, and they didn't have a relationship with God. They didn't understand the deep things of God, because their mindset was a worldly tainted idea of God. And so it's important to understand in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, Now on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood out and cried, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. But of this he spoke of the Spirit, whom who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the thing that the religious world misses, and they might even say believe this. And, I mean, Lee and I are studying with a couple of people right now that are going to say they might quote this passage. Yeah, the Spirit wasn't given, but they think that the Spirit was given before. They'll quote it, the Spirit wasn't given until Jesus was glorified, but they think the Spirit was given before. They think there's no difference between the Old Testament people and the New Testament people. There's really no difference between the New and Old Covenant. Or the people under the Old Covenant understood things of the New Covenant, and so their idea is twisted, and it's lack of understanding, because it's again based upon the flesh. So Jesus is saying here to put all these passages together. Jesus is saying, "I will go away, and you'll seek me." He is saying that he is going to ascend, and after he ascends, we know that the Spirit was going to come. But these people here, he's saying, you're going to seek me, and you're not going to be able to find me, because where I'm going, you can't come. Why? Well, one, they don't have a relationship with God. They don't have the Spirit of God. They're going to die in their sins, because their sins aren't forgiven, because they have a hardness of heart, and they refuse to believe who Jesus says he was. Even though he had, as we went through in John chapter 7 and in John chapter 5, how he proved himself, and there was multiple witnesses, not just He himself was a witness, even though his witness would have been true. But John was a witness, his works were a witness, the Father was a witness, the Scripture was a witness. And he says, even later, I told you from the beginning who I am, and you didn't believe me. Because the mindset that's above, that's below, can't understand the things of God. The mindset above can understand the things of God. Verse 24, therefore I said to you that if you will die in your sins, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. See, they didn't have a relationship with God, and this is true for many today. You have the people that, well, they think they have a relationship with God. They think that they're doing some things for God, or they're living righteously, or whatever it is. And if you ever noticed that it's the people that think they have a relationship with God, they're really not seeking a Bible study to find the truth. Yeah, and as for us, we got, and it kind of can make it challenging in ways for us to reach out and have studies with them to how to get that going. You have, on one hand, the people who think they have a relationship with God that don't really care about searching the Scripture to find out maybe that they're wrong. You have the people who don't care, so they definitely don't care about searching the Scriptures to find out whether they're wrong. And then you do have some people that are questioning, that think they have a relationship with God, they want to find out more. At times, you have people who maybe hit rock bottom, and there's examples of those things, all those types of people in the Scriptures, where that people who are just hitting rock bottom, they come to Jesus, or they have some questions, and they realize that something's not quite right, and they come and talk to him. Or, and you also have the people that just think that, hey, we are the children of Abraham, and we are the sons of God, and you're a demon, Jesus. As they're going to say a little bit later here in John chapter 8, as they said before in John chapter 7, because their heart is, and their understanding is based upon an unstable foundation that is not based upon the rock, unstable foundation, they cannot understand the deeper things of God. And so if they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, then they were going to die in their sins. And you could relate that over, because if you think, if you look at when Jesus went into Jerusalem, okay, this may be a little different look at that. Jesus went into Jerusalem, they thought he was the Messiah. They just thought he was the Messiah of differently than what he actually was. So just because they think he's the Messiah, just because some people say that Jesus is Lord, does not mean they're actually servants of the Lord. Just because they were it was known as a triumphal entry when they were Hosanna, Hosanna, the son of David. They knew he was the son of David, the king. They're quoting Zechariah. Or Zechariah is fulfilled there. The king, come behold, mounted on a donkey, humbled and mounted on a donkey. See, they understood that he was the Messiah partially there. They thought he was the Messiah, but a Messiah of their own appetite. And you have people that think the same thing today. And you have people, that's why they didn't understand. They didn't understand who he was. So believing in him is more than just believing that he was the Messiah, because they believed that he was the Messiah, and they had the incorrect understanding of what type of rescuing that he was going to do. And so Jesus says in Luke 19 that you're going to be destroyed. There's not one stone left on this here that's going to not be overturned. They're going to surround you, and they're going to destroy you and trample you underfoot. That's the only time, as we mentioned, we went through the second coming, the Lord's second coming here in the class. The only two times we have recorded that Jesus cried. Verse 25 of John chapter 8. So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world." So he had told them from the beginning, But the worldly mind doesn't understand. Now, as we're kind of going through and relating to people, this is kind of a challenging task at times. And sometimes you feel like, and I've said this five times to you, and you haven't understood it, or you're just sitting there stuck in your own way of thinking and not really wanting to understand it. Okay, now, I'm not saying that it's not maybe just to be frustrated. I think Jesus was kind of frustrated because he had told them, I told you from the beginning, you know who I am, the scripture bear witness of me, the Father bears witness of me, John bore witness of me, my works bear witness of me. And they're like, well, who are you then? He told them from the beginning. And so sometimes, and as we're going to see, there's some people that believe in him here, and then you have some people that we'll get into in the next few weeks that they start not believing him again. But you see that it does take sometimes a little while for people to see the truth. And so I think it's going to be an encouragement for us and to understand that Jesus went through the same things, and he kept relating the same message. You know what the message that's going to be believed is? The message that's consistent. See, the religious world, if you go to five different congregations in this town, you're going to get five different answers on a specific topic. Okay, so if we're consistent, you're going to people are eventually either going to respect you and not follow do what you're saying. They're going to hate you for it, or they're going to come around to the truth. Okay, but we need to be consistent. That's what Jesus kept. He was consistent. I have told you that from the beginning. Verse 28, it says, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father has taught me. And he does that because they didn't realize that he was speaking about the Father, even though, like he had said before, he's told them who he was. He told them who bore witness of him. And when he said in verse 26 that he who sent me is true, and he speaks the things that he taught him, they didn't understand who he was talking about. So he goes and says, hey, when I am lifted up, when the Son of Man is lifted up, you are going to know that I am he. Turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. So Jesus is saying there that they wouldn't believe until after he was crucified. Sometimes we have to show the people the action. We have to show them through action. Luke 23, in verse 46, Jesus said, this is Jesus on the cross here, crying out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw that this what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all of his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. So they realized after he was crucified, and Jesus said, hey, when I'm lifted up, you're going to realize, you're going to know that I am he. They realized after that they made a mistake. Nobody willingly is going to die for a lie that they have told. Okay, you can say, oh, people do die for their lies. Yeah, they do die for their lies. They don't willingly die for their lies. When they're staring death in the face, they try to get out of death and escape death any way that they can. When Jesus is staring death in the face, he didn't try to escape death. Nobody believes a lie and follows through with a lie and dies for a lie when they know that they can't do anything about it after they're dead. So they understood when Jesus did this, when this happened, the veil in the temple tore in two, and the earthquake happened, and the sun, the signs that led up to that, and if you go read Matthew 27, it talks about the signs that led up to Jesus being crucified. In the middle of the day, from noon to three, the sun was darkened, and it was darkness over in the brightest part of the day. And there was earthquakes, and the tombs of the righteous were open, and the veil of the temple tore in two, and he cried out, and he quotes Psalm 22. See, they realized after the fact that they crucified the Son, and that's what Jesus said they were going to do. Is that, you know, it's hard for people to kind of believe it. You know, I'm not saying not obviously his apostles believed that he was the Messiah. They still didn't quite understand what kind of type of Messiah that he was until after he resurrected. They thought he was still going to deliver Israel physically. But sometimes we have to show. People through action. If we're sitting here preaching to people how important the church is, and how important the assembly is, and how important it is to study the word, and we're not doing it ourselves, it's not going to be a very easy opportunity or a very easy chance we're going to convince others of doing the same thing. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, after Jesus had resurrected, we'll start in verse 11. Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come back to the governor's ears, we'll win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this is the story that was widely spread among the Jews, and it is to this day. So the leaders of Israel knew that Jesus, they didn't even have to question. They knew he resurrected. They knew that the apostles or his disciples did not come and steal him away. And so you have the people after he resurrected that understood and realized that he was the Son of God. And if you look in the Greek there, he is saying, and they didn't understand it in John until the end of John chapter 8, that when he says, "I am he is saying, "I am," talking about that I am Yahweh. Okay, they didn't understand that. And so when he is saying that then, they understand that I am he, that the people who crucified him and the people surrounding him at the time were beating their chest because in grief or sorrow because of what they'd done. And I'm assuming they're probably part of the 3,000 or the 5,000 or something that came to the Lord after the day of Pentecost. But the chief priests and the elders covered it up. They covered it up. They knew, but their hearts were evil, and they desired to cover it up. Now, you have your other stages of those people, too, that didn't maybe actually cover it up, just like the people that didn't crucify him. They weren't a part in trying to convince the governor that he should be crucified, but they're as guilty because they didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. Turn back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 29. "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him." We mentioned last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about how the deeper things that God has are for his saints, for those who are willing to understand and willing to seek him. And so when we see that the mindset of the world cannot see the things, so the pure all things are pure, but to the impure, all things are impure. James chapter 3 kind of talks about that. The wisdom from below is earthly and demonic and natural, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. And it goes on. Those who seek the truth and those who set their minds on things above eventually come around to the truth of what Jesus is saying. Now, how many stayed and how many left? I mean, we are not told any number as we go throughout the Gospels. We're not told you know, how many of these people here made it all the way to death. We know that the people do fall away. We know that people reject, and Paul and Peter and John talk about people who have turned aside and reject the Messiah after they become part of him. But those who truly have a mindset above, even if it might be hard to understand, and you put yourself in the apostles' shoes for a second. They understood that he was the Son of God. They understood that he was the Messiah. They did not understand every detail that he had, that he was talking about, until after he resurrected. And even after that, they still had some growing to do, and they had to learn. And so But the one who has the mindset above is going to grow and learn. And the first question that they have is not going to be a critical, evil question. It's not going to be like the leaders of the Jews here. Well, he said he was going to go away. Is he going to kill himself? He said he was going to go away. That's not the first question that they had. The apostles, when we went in John chapter 16, they actually didn't even ask where he was going. Because I don't know if they understood what he was doing, but they understood that he was going to leave them. And that grieved them. They didn't understand maybe the details, but they understood that they at least got the hint that he was saying that they were going to leave him, that he was going to leave them. And their first response isn't something like, "Oh, you're going to kill yourself? Is that why you're going to leave? Is that why we're not going to be able to be with you anymore?" Because even though they did not understand everything, they still weren't critical in their questioning. Abraham didn't understand everything. He didn't understand what God was doing and what the situation, but he wasn't critical. He's basically pointing out a fact that you're not like that, though. You're not like that to kill 50 righteous people with the wicked. And he was right. God wasn't like that. And he kept asking the question, even where four righteous people, if you want to attach that name to the four, he took them out and got them out of there. And so Abraham, still, he wasn't critical in his questioning. The Jews were critical in their questioning, and someone who's critical about the truth, even if they don't understand, they're still going to be critical, and they're not going to understand because they're critical. And those who aren't critical and are seeking the truth, even if they don't understand, they're going to grow and learn and ask questions to actually desire to learn. A lot of times you're going to get questions when you're studying with people, you're going to get some questions, maybe a lot of times, but some questions you're going to get, they're going to ask questions for the purpose of disproving or proving you to be false or in what you're saying. And granted, there's sometimes we have to work through that, and there's some success that we can have with that, that if you show the truth and continue showing the truth, that they eventually come around. But as Jesus says, I don't know where at, but off the top of my head, but he says, if they're hating you, it's not that they're hating you, but they're hating me. And that's not an exact quote, but he's saying is that they've hated me first, they're going to hate you, but they're actually hating me. And they're hating the Father who sent me, because the Father who sent me is the words that you're speaking, the words that I'm speaking. And so that's who they're really hating. So our job is to communicate the message. Our job is to no matter how many times it takes, if we have the opportunity to keep presenting the truth, and eventually those who are seeking the truth are going to come around. And as for us, we need to have that same mindset, even though we might not understand something, even though we're in the body of Christ, well, we might understand something, there is time to grow. We can ask God. God wants us to question Him. You know, the truth that we say that the truth doesn't fear examination. And you study with people and they sure do fear examination, which tells you something about it. Because if they didn't fear examination, they wouldn't have no problem looking at it. God doesn't fear examination. He's so confident that you're going to find the truth. I know exactly who I am, and I know exactly that you can find out who I am. God doesn't fear examination. He wants us to find out. He wants us to seek. So those who change their mindset on the things above will gain understanding and know the deep things of God, and will put them into practice. Not like the Jews who are critical or the Jews who tried to cover it up, but like an Apollos, when even though he was speaking, if you want to call it 99% truth, he still was off on the and had the incorrect immersion. When he found out what was right, he repented and he was immersed correctly, and he began teaching that. Because he would probably had a lot to boast in, because he did a lot of good things if his boasting was of the flesh. But the one who seeks the truth will gain understanding and learn more and put it into practice. Let's be those kind of people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be your children. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to find out who you are, Father, that you have provided in your word that we can learn about you, that we can see your character. We know that you're different than every other so-called God, Father. We know that you're loving. We know that you want us to be your children, that you care for us, even the little things, Father. We thank you so much for that. We know, Father, that you loved us so much that you gave your son for us, that we could be your children, that we could be in your kingdom. Father, help us again as we continue to grow in you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.